Democrat Rebecca Cook says she will run against Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden in 2026 after losing to him this past election. It's Wednesday, March 12th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the Wisconsin version of Elon Musk's Doge Committee held its inaugural meeting, and a steel freighter that sank in Lake Superior more than 130 years ago has been found. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
Twenty months out from the 2026 congressional election, a Democratic candidate has emerged in western Wisconsin. Anya Van Wagtendonk has the details.
Democrat Rebecca Cook has announced she'll challenge Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden next November. She made the announcement just a few months after losing to Van Orden this fall. It's not too early to vie for the competitive seat, she argued in a social media video with the sounds of a Chippewa County dairy farm in the background.
Stepping up to support our family farmers is a top priority of mine, and one of the reasons why I'm getting out there early.
Cook says she outperforms other Democrats in Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district. National Democrats have said they're hoping to flip the seat. A spokesperson for a national Republican group called Cook a, quote, certified loser. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
As Elon Musk's Doge initiates federal funding cuts and mass layoffs, a Wisconsin committee called GOAT held its first meeting yesterday. The Committee on Government Operations, Accountability, and Transparency was created by Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. The inaugural hearing focused on state employees who have worked remotely since the COVID pandemic. Department of Public Instruction spokesperson Tom McCarthy testified that remote work agreements are regularly reviewed and can be canceled if employees don't meet expectations. He said the department has moved to a smaller building and more workers are now located outside of Madison.
We are continually evaluating our usage rate inside of the building to figure out if we need to reduce even further, or if we have hit sort of that homeostasis point where we're using our space effectively.
A Republican bill requiring state workers to return to the office is circulating in the state capitol, but Governor Tony Evers has pledged to veto that plan. Milwaukee County leaders are using crash data to identify dangerous roadways. It's the latest effort to get a handle on reckless driving in the community. Data from a county dashboard shows more fatal crashes are occurring on Milwaukee's north side, which is predominantly black. Ben Weston is the county's chief health policy officer.
Low-income neighborhoods and communities of color experience disproportionately higher rates of serious crashes. And motor vehicle crashes are not just a safety issue either, they're a public health issue. And tackling it requires a comprehensive, data-driven approach.
Weston says a task force plans to use crash data to target traffic safety projects. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley recently signed a lengthy plan to address reckless driving. That plan identifies more than 500 potential projects to help lower speeds and improve safety. A team of Great Lakes shipwreck hunters says it's found a steel freighter that sank in Lake Superior more than 130 years ago. As Danielle Kading reports, the Western Reserve went down about 60 miles northwest of Whitefish Point in 1892.
The gales of Lake Superior thrashed against the Western Reserve when it cracked in half with 28 souls aboard. It sank near a stretch of coastline that's known as the graveyard of the Great Lakes. Only one crew member survived, and the wreck was lost until last summer. Corey Adkins with the Great Lakes Shipwreck Historical Society says their discovery solves a 132-year-old mystery.
It's a piece of history that people don't know about, forgotten, but there are still family members out there when we find these things, that it's important to them.
A maritime historian called it one of the top three shipwrecks that had yet to be found in Lake Superior. There are between 6,000 to 8,000 shipwrecks in the Great Lakes. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Former Milwaukee Bucks star and part owner of the team, Junior Bridgman, died yesterday at the age of 71. Bridgman led Louisville to a Final Four while playing in college. He went on to play 12 seasons in the NBA, most of them with the Milwaukee Bucks. Then he launched a business career with stakes in publishing and several restaurant chains that made him a billionaire. He also recently bought a 10% stake in the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that has his number 2 jersey hanging at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks released a statement saying the team was shocked and saddened by Bridgman's death. The statement went on to say that, quote, his memory will always be an inspiration to the Bucks organization. Coming up, when a loved one dies, that grief can take different forms. One Wisconsin mother shares how she moves through her own loss in today's Wisconsin life. Stay with us.
Current and emerging issues with a decidedly Wisconsin point of view.
There are untold stories everywhere.
Be able to take someone else's perspective.
What are your challenges and what are you experiencing?
I like to make one meal for my families at dinner time because I think as busy moms, we have enough to do. We don't need to be short order cooks.
Being able to disagree without being disagreeable. Working with diverse viewpoints.
Wisconsin Today, weekday mornings at 9 on WPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about living among grief.
Profound loss has a way of never going away. Writer Amy Fleury moves through her grief on her family's land, where she often thinks about her late son and her own mortality. She shared the following story at a live Wisconsin Life storytelling event in Eau Claire at the Lakely.
As Derek, my then fiancé, drove us across the bridge at Hudson, the piney woods we passed were etched against the gloaming sky. Once we crossed into Dunn County, I was delighted to approach, through the stands of eastern white pine, a picturesque farmstead with a cozy house that Derek's late granddad had built himself, a red barn and a couple silos. All nestled in 450 acres of the family farm, whose trees would become lumber. In the freshness of morning, we bundled up and Derek led me by my mittened hand on some of the farm's woodland trails. He loved this farm he'd been visiting since childhood, first to visit his grandparents and then his own folks who had retired there. He shared with me that he hoped to call it home one day. He and his late wife, Lisa, had even chosen to be married in Menominee. We hiked through old snow on what would have been their 15th wedding anniversary. When we came off the trail, Derek showed me the maple under which Lisa's ashes were buried. We visited the farm once more before we were married. And then it would be over 3 years before we could return. We were blessed with a son, Graham, who lived and died in a pediatric hospital in Texas, and that kept us away. 7 years later, we sold our house and made the move north. We wanted to be closer to family and to learn how to care for the tree farm as we would one day be stewards of it. The only piece of real estate we now own is a plot in Lake Menominee's Evergreen Cemetery. We purchased it in the zombified days of early grief, a time when I felt simultaneously skinless and numb after the death of our 2.5-year-old son. It's when I had not yet realized it would be acceptable to keep Graham's urn near us, that we need not yet abandon it under the pine needles and snow. A truth that dazzled me gradually was that there would be no one to visit our grave. At best, someone might pass by and wonder at the curious configuration of our dates, an almost pioneer-like starkness with the early death of a first wife, a midlife marriage, and the loss of a young child. perhaps the better course in the end is for our ashes to be sifted together, a bone meal supplying nitrogen, calcium, and phosphorus, spread to nourish a mighty pine or many. Some brisk morning, a family might walk among those trees. May their joy in existing together in this place be evergreen.
Amy Fleury shared that piece, Evergreen, at a live storytelling event in Eau Claire at the Lakely. It was hosted by WPR's Wisconsin Life and the Chippewa Valley Writers Guild. To hear her full story and learn why she wanted to talk about grief on stage, go to wisconsinlife.org or check out the Wisconsin Life podcast. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lolan Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And finally, a quick check of weather before letting you go for the day. It's going to look pretty nice across Wisconsin. High temperatures in the 40s and 50s today. Plenty of sunshine, no rain expected. Overnight lows getting down into the 20s and 30s. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.